The following radio play is dedicated to the memory of Jack Williams, performer, writer, and radio reading voiceover actor. His talent and humor will be missed.
The Daydreamers present The Hard Cases Detectives in Case File Number 3, The Voodoo King, by Rick Young.
Chapter 1, Desperate Measures. At the headquarters of the Laffoon Crime Syndicate, mob boss Penny Annie looked at her computer screen and sighed. Something weird was going on in New Orleans. Of course, that was to be expected, somewhat. After all, the Big Easy is a very weird and very strange place. First, Jack Riley, aka the Velvet Elvis, tried to take over her operations, so she enlisted the aid of the Salacious Sisters to get rid of this interloper. Not only did they fail to stop him, but he increased his efforts to wrest control from the Laffoons. Then, when all seemed lost, Jack just up and left. Naturally, Penny was pleased, but curious as to the why of it. Then things got really weird. She called the Salacious Sisters into her office to find out why they had failed to stop Jack the first time. She discovered that the twins had no memory of her giving them the assignment, even after showing them the video she secretly made of them accepting the job. Somehow their memories had been wiped clean. Now someone was closing down the syndicate's operations one at a time. Rumor had it that a detective agency was behind this. But how were they able to accomplish this when the police and the feds had tried and failed? Maybe something else was going on. Something supernatural. Well, if that was the case, then she better fight fire with fire. She called her old friend, Jacques Strapeau, to see what he could do. Jacques happened to be a very powerful voodoo king. If anyone could find out what was going on and stop it, then he was the person for the job. Penny met with Jacques in her office. Jacques was a very old-looking, dark-skinned Cajun man with a shock of thick white hair. It looked like a Persian cat took up residence on his head. Penny is a middle-aged, somewhat attractive woman. Unfortunately, her nose wasn't kind to her face. In profile, she resembled a can opener. This went a long way in explaining how she ended up choosing a life of crime.
What can I do for you, mon chéri?
I have a problem that requires your, how shall I phrase it, your special skills.
Then you need a hex put on someone, no?
Perhaps. Right now, I'm not sure. I need information first. I need you to check out the Hard Cases Detective Agency. Find out if they're interfering with my operations.
Consider it done, Sherry. I have just the man for the job.
I need this accomplished with alacrity.
Then expect my report by the end of the week.
Jock enlisted the aid of his most trusted confidant, Bud Diggs. Late one night, Bud broke into the detective agency. Accessing the computer on Rummy Shot's desk, he found what he was looking for and downloaded some documents. Then Bud entered the main office and tripped over a rumpled old rug that was lying near the desk. When he dusted himself off, he noticed that the rug was snoring. It was a dog. The flea-bitten bloodhound looked up, rolled over, and went back to sleep. Bud quickly looked around the room, found something of interest, and put it in his pocket. He then placed a listening device under Bob's desk. Slowly he retreated and reported back to Jacques.
What did you find, mon ami?
You were right. I downloaded some files from the receptionist's desk. They are actively investigating the Laffoon's crime operations. They have already shut down several brothels, a couple of illegal gambling joints, and seized a shipment of stolen paintings that were earmarked for your friend, Penny Ante. Plus, I found out something else much more interesting.
What is that?
There are three of them, each one with a different skill set.
Three of them, huh? They is different how?
One is a ghost. One is an enchanter. And the other is, sir, I'm not exactly sure just what the hell that thing is.
That thing? What do you mean by that thing?
All I know is that it don't appear to be from around here. It may be some sort of robot.
Robot? That is something I need to think about. I can handle the ghost with a hex. The enchanter might be a challenge, though.
I might be able to help with that. I found this on his desk. Can you use it?
This will come in handy, I think. Now we will pass a good time with them, Alonze?
Meanwhile, the next morning at the Hard Cases Detective Agency, Bob Plain enters the reception area. He looks perplexed.
Rummy, have you seen my hairbrush? I could have sworn I left it on my desk.
Hairbrush? What do you need a hairbrush for? Didn't you lose your hair years ago?
I did not lose my hair. I know where it is. It's in my brush. I must be getting forgetful. I know I saw it yesterday.
Your hair or the brush?
Very funny.
I'm getting forgetful as well. When I came in today, my computer was on. I thought I turned it off before I left work yesterday.
Speaking of shutting things off, Click Clack shut itself down yesterday to save power.
Again? I thought Clicky already did that.
It wasn't long enough. The droid told me it needs 7 solar cycles to recharge.
So Clicky will be out of commission for what, a week? Where is the ghost?
Dick's visiting some old friends at the local cemetery.
Okay. Oh, here comes that bloodhound of yours, Bupkis. How's it hanging, buddy?
Everything is hanging these days. I had a weird dream last night. Someone tripped over me. Nearly woke me up.
Bupkis said he had a dream last night that someone tripped over him, but I don't think it was a dream.
That explains it. So I didn't forget to turn off my computer. Someone broke in here. I wonder what they were looking for in the files.
I don't know, but why would they also steal my hairbrush?
Beats me. Talk about your harebrained schemes.
Chapter 2. You do that voodoo that you do so well. Speaking of harebrained schemes, Jacques meets with Bud in his chicken shack to plan his attack. He takes out an old black bag and blows the dust off of it. Whew.
This is my voodoo bag. It has the bones in it. I will roll them bones to put the hex on the ghost. Thanks to the bug you put in the office, I know that the ghost is in the cemetery. I will trap him in the cemetery, and he won't be able to get out. Then I will make a poppet from the hairbrush that you gave me.
Poppet? What's a poppet?
You heard of the voodoo doll? A poppet is the same thing.
So then you're going to put a curse on him?
No. Something else. I will be able to control him.
You mean like a zombie?
Something like that, yes?
First, Jacques rolls the bones from his little black bag and, using an ancient chant, traps the ghost in the cemetery. Next, he makes an image of Bob Plain in the form of a small voodoo doll and carefully attaches the hair from the brush to the top of the head. He then has Bud call the detective agency and pretend to be a client. He wants Bob to come alone to his chicken shack, where he will use the voodoo doll on him. Just as the detective arrives to meet with Jacques, he gets one of his patented headaches.
Ow! This headache is the worst one yet. Something must be up.
Enter. Welcome to my humble abode.
Hi, I'm Bob. Bob Plain, but you can call me just plain Bob.
I am Jacques Strapeau, but you can call me Jock.
Pleased to meet you, Jack. What can I do for you?
Ah, that is the thing, is it not? I want you to leave Louisiana. That is what you can do for me.
What do you mean, leave Louisiana?
You are interfering with things that don't concern you.
What things? I mean, things are you talking about?
Things of a personal matter involving my friends the LaFoons.
Oh, so you're involved with a criminal element. Well, my friend, it is you that needs to leave, or else.
I think not, mon ami.
Think about this. I strongly suggest that we never met. You never heard of me, and you will leave this city at once.
Your powers of suggestion will not work on me, mon cher. I am more powerful than you. I am what you call a voodoo king. The most powerful one in all Louisiana. You are, how you say, a one-trick pony. I have more powers than just enchantment. Now you will respect my suggestion and stay here. You are frozen in place and cannot move, I think.
I think you're full of it. I can and will move it. Hey, what the hell? I'm stuck to the floor.
As I say, you cannot harm me. I have the power of hexes, and you do not, no? Now you will stay frozen to the floor till I find out what the boss wants to do with you.
How did you do this to me?
With this puppet.
Puppet? That's a voodoo doll. I don't believe in those things.
You will, Monsieur Bob. When I get done with you, you will.
Oh, now I know why I got that headache. It was a warning. Oh, why don't I ever listen?
In the meantime, I will have you on pins and needles, so to speak. You have been a pain in the ass with the LaFoon. Now I return the favor, I think. Watch carefully while I stick this needle in the puppet's behind.
Ow! That hurt!
That is just the beginning. I have more needles. I want you to think about that while I contact the boss. Don't go anywhere, mon ami.
Oh, if I could only move, then I'd show you who the boss really is.
Bob thought to himself about where it all went so wrong. How could he have let this happen to him? Was it arrogance? He had the power to influence people's thoughts and the power to understand animals, but was powerless to do anything about his current situation. Here he was, stuck to the floor in a room of a man much more powerful than him. Well, this could be the end of him. The ghost couldn't help him, and Click Clack was powered off. He didn't want this to be the end of his life, not now, not when things were just starting to get interesting. He thought he'd live to be at least 80, and not flame out in his 60s. Heck, when he was a child, he didn't think that much about life. In his teens, he thought he would live forever. Then in his 20s, he started to grow into himself, and life was pregnant with possibilities. In his 30s, it was all about making money, head down, nose to the grindstone, a difficult age, an age of uncertainty. Was he on the right path? He wasn't sure. Then he found himself in his 40s, and he got his second wind. The 40s were a revelation, a great time to be alive. No longer a young man, but not old either. It was his favorite age. When he hit 50, 50 hit back, hard. What he used to do all night, now took all night to do. All of a sudden, he felt mortal. He wasn't happy about that, no sir. Time started marching faster. The days were longer, but the years were shorter. In no time at all, he found himself in his 60s, and he was once again rejuvenated. He had found his calling and his power. That was little comfort now, as he found himself stuck to the floor, unable to move, and facing his possible extinction. Life was unpredictable. You just never knew. Chapter 3. Rummy Ruminates. Rummy was starting to get worried. No, check that. She was way beyond worried. Dick Dark was nowhere to be found, and Bob was way overdue. He wasn't answering his cell, which went straight to voicemail. Something was up. Click-clack couldn't help her. The droid shut itself off to conserve energy. It would be out of commission for 6 more days. By then it might be too late. If she wanted to find out what was going on, she would have to find out on her own, and to do that she needed clarity. She went to her emergency backpack, pulled out a smudge stick and lit it. The bundle of sage, sweetgrass, and cedar would clear Bob's office of negative energy. While she was at it, she decided to smudge herself as well. You just couldn't be too careful when dealing with occult forces. Once that was done, she lit some white candles and placed them around Bob's desk. Then she burnt some incense. Next, she decided to do a tarot reading. Should she use the Rider-Waite deck or the Aleister Crowley-Toth deck? No. She decided to use the deck that she bought on a trip to Walden Pond when she was in Concord, Massachusetts, the Henry David Tarot deck. She took the cards out of a special pine box and removed them from the silk sack. Then she placed the cards over the incense to cleanse them. Next, she did a quick meditation while softly speaking the great invocation. She then set down a pine board and laid the cards out in a Celtic cross formation, thinking about the questions she needed answered. She laid out each card in the formation face down. The first card in the formation was the Significator. This represented Bob. She turned the card over and it was the Fool. It was the perfect card for Bob, as the image on the card showed a man wearing a blindfold stepping off a cliff. A dog pulled at his pants leg to keep him from stepping off. That was Bob, all right. Never looking at where he was going, just plow ahead. The dog must be Bupkis. That must mean that Bupkis would come into play somehow. As she turned each card over, the reading was becoming clearer. The second card was the Tower, and it was in the upright position. Well, that can't be good. It meant the disaster was in progress. The third card was what fate was sending, and that card was the Magician. Uh-oh. Someone more powerful than Bob was in control of the situation. As each card was turned over, she saw that her boss was in real trouble. The last card in the formation spelled it all out. It was the Death card. She needed to do something, and she needed to do it fast. If she was going up against something or someone more powerful than Bob, then she needed some mystical fetishes. That's when she remembered the talisman that Bob gave her after the last case, the Haunted Chateau. She put it around her neck and tucked it into her shirt. Would this be enough to ward off any spells? Ordinarily, she would have contacted her sisters, Ginny and Jello, but they were on a well-deserved vacation from the last case. She decided to visit an old friend that ran the Lucky Charms Charm Emporium. Maybe he could help.
Rick? Rick Shaw, are you here?
You bet your Lucky Charms I'm here. Hell, I'm always here. I live above the shop, you know. It's good to see you again, Rummy. What brings you here today? Are you looking for work? If you want your old job back, I'd be grateful for the help.
No, I'm not that desperate. Not yet, anyway.
Ouch, that hurts.
Sorry. It's just that I don't know where else to turn.
Well, we'll figure this out together. Tell me everything.
Rummy related her tale to Rick about her missing co-workers, leaving out the fact that Dick was a ghost and Bob was an enchanter. Although she had known Rick for years, she didn't think he was ready for that nugget just yet. She also told him about her tarot reading and what she suspected.
Rummy, you're the best card reader I ever met. Based on what you told me, I think you may be dealing with a voodoo king or queen. I think he or she may have put a hex on your friends, or maybe something worse.
If that is true, then what can I do?
Well, first you have to protect yourself against any hexes or spells that could be used against you.
Well, I have this talisman. Do you think it will help?
May I see it, please? Wow, this is a powerful fetish. It's very, very old. Where did you get it?
From our last case. It was found in the Chateau Lafoon.
Oh, that place has bad mojo. This will protect you from anything that could be thrown at you. However, what you need is a counterspell.
Counterspell?
Yes. I'm going to give you an amulet that has a boomerang spell on it.
Boomerang spell?
Whatever spell is thrown at you will bounce back at them 10 times the intensity.
Thanks, Rick. How can I ever repay you?
I take cash or credit.
Of course. I sometimes forget you also have bills to pay. I just happen to have the company credit card. I don't think Bob will mind, since it's his ass I'm saving. Here's the card.
Thanks. Oh, one more thing. How are you going to find your friends?
I have an idea based on the card reading. At first, I didn't understand what it meant, but now I know. This case is going to the dogs, so to speak.
Chapter 4. Doggone it! Rummy raced back to the office and found that old lump of a dog lying in front of Bob's desk. She grabbed a sweater that Bob had hung on the back of his chair and placed it under the dog's wrinkled nose as he slept. Meanwhile, Bupkis was doing his favorite thing in the whole world, sleeping. If there was an award for snoozing at dog shows, he would take best in show every time. He was snoring and moving his legs as he dreamed of chasing lizards, which were as plentiful in New Orleans as squirrels were in the Midwest. He didn't know what he'd do if he ever caught one, but that didn't stop him from trying. Though in his dreams he moved very fast, reality was a different story. The 8-year-old dog moved so slow, you needed a calendar to time him from walking from Bob's office to Rummy's desk in the next room. Just as he was about to catch his dream lizard, he smelled something familiar. It was his master, Bob, who he loved more than anything. Bob was different from all the other animals that walked on two legs. Bob could understand him. Oh, he liked Rummy, because she gave great belly rubs. She took her time. Dick was altogether different. He didn't seem to be all there. Click-Clack was a puzzle. He didn't know what to make of the droid. It reminded him of a mailbox on wheels. But when he lifted his leg to mark his territory, the droid zapped him in his business. He wouldn't be doing that again anytime soon. He barked with a lisp for a week. There it was again, the scent of his master, Bob. Slowly he opened his eyes and heard a familiar voice.
Come on, boy, take a good sniff. I need you to find your master.
The dog rolled over on his back and lifted his legs.
There's no time for a belly rub. We need to get going. We need to find Bob. Here, sniff this again.
He sniffed deeply. There was a smorgasbord of scents. He could smell the wool, grease from the potato chips that Bob wiped on his sweater, a splash of beef stew from Saturday supper, pollen from their walks outside, and the scent of Bob, which was a combination of Old Spice, deodorant, smoke from his pipe, and, well, Bob himself. The dog needed to find him. He missed his master. Bob had been gone for 6 sleep periods, which in dog terms was 2 days. He got up and shook himself to shake out the cobwebs and slowly walked to the door. They took the elevator down to the garage and went into Rummy's car. He rode shotgun as Rummy put the window down. If there was anything that Bupkis loved more than Bob, and of course belly rubs, it was the box on wheels. Oh, the scents he could pick up. It was like sex for a dog. Well, not quite as good as that, but damn near. He loved the wind in his face, the smells, even if some of them were cats. off they went. The dog slobbered so much that the car behind them had to turn on their windshield wipers. He howled every time Rummy made a wrong turn. He was on the scent. After an hour of driving, they reached the bayou. Bupkis barked twice. He grabbed Rummy's arm when they reached an old dirt road. She turned onto it. He barked again and licked her. They were getting close. At the end of the road was an old shanty, sometimes called a chicken shack. They had arrived. Rummy got out of the car, followed by Bupkis, who ran to the dwelling. Well, it was more of a brisk saunter. The door was open when they entered and saw Bob, frozen in place, right in the middle of the room.
Howdy. What kept you?
Chapter 5. Charmed, I'm sure.
Howdy? That's all you've got to say? Come on, let's get out of here.
I'd love to, but I'm kind of stuck to the floor.
What do you mean, you're stuck to the floor?
Someone put a spell on me.
Who?
That would be me, mon chéri.
And you are?
I am Jacques Strapeau, the Voodoo King. And you, chéri?
First off, my name is not Sherry. It's Rummy. Rummy Schatz.
And the flea bag?
Hey, who are you calling a flea bag?
That's Bupkis, the best bloodhound in the business.
Thanks, Bob.
Who asked you? In fact, you can't talk at all. This is between me and the woman.
You can't make me...
Hey, stop that!
I do what I want. You have no power in my domain.
Think again, asswipe.
Really? Then I show you my power. You will stop speaking now.
Nope, not gonna happen.
I not understand this.
Then understand this, Jock Strap. I suggest that it is you who cannot talk.
Ah, mon chéri, you have no power over me.
Wrong! Oh, but thanks for playing. I suggest that it is you who cannot move.
Once again, I prove you wrong, no? Now, I will put a hex on you and trap you here like I trapped your dead friend, Monsieur Dark.
You trapped Dick? Where?
In the cemetery. Now I take my leave of you. Don't go anywhere, chéri.
How many times do I have to tell you it's Rummy, not Sherry? Now you really are starting to piss me off. Ali Kebab and Ramalama Ding Dong, you dick!
While still speaking gibberish, Rummy pulled the amulet out that had the boomerang spell on it and aimed it at the Voodoo King.
It is you who are trapped, I think.
That is not possible. Only a voodoo queen could trap me here.
Really? Oh, well then I guess that makes me a voodoo queen. Yes?
No! I know all of the voodoo queens, and you aren't among them. To prove that, I throw a hex on you. You will now go limp and fall to the floor, chéri.
It's Rummy, blowhard, and it is you that will go limp and fall to the floor.
Ow! When I get up, you will be sorry.
Bupkis, can you hear my thoughts?
Yes, Bob. I can hear you.
Good. Now sit on the bad man so he can't get up.
Okie dokie.
If he tries to move, pee on him.
Get off of me, you bag of bones! Hey! Stop that! Not on the head!
He won't stop until you free the ghost and Bob from the spells you put on them.
And if I refuse?
Then you will drown. Besides, you can't harm me.
You don't have that kind of power!
Actually, oh, I do. Bupkis, stop. Have you ever heard of Marie Laveau?
Of course. Anyone that practices voodoo has heard of Marie Laveau. Her mother was the most powerful voodoo queen of them all. How do you know about her?
I have her amulet. It was given to my boss by Marie's ghost. That's how.
I do not believe you. Show me the amulet. You speak the truth. I am no match for that. If I release the hexes on your friends, then will you release me?
I will if you give me a blood oath that you won't interfere with us again.
Then take the knife out of my belt and cut my right hand and your left hand. Then we press hands together, making us blood kin. I will not be able to harm you or go against what you tell me. Yes?
Rummy does what Jock requests. Then the Voodoo King releases Bob and the ghost from hexes he put on them.
Now, there's one more thing I need you to do.
What is that?
Tell your boss to leave us alone or else.
I will deliver the message, but she won't listen, I think.
Then tell her that the hard cases detectives won't rest until she closes up shop.
I will do as you ask. Now I take my leave of you.
Thanks, Rummy. I owe you big time.
I couldn't have done it without Bupkis. Oh, you owe us a steak dinner.
You got it. Hear that, boy? Tonight, you dine on steak.
Good. I love steak.
And so ends another anus-gripping adventure of The Hard Cases Detectives.
The Daydreamers present The Hard Cases Detectives in Case File Number 2, The Haunted Chateau, and Case File Number 3, The Voodoo King.
Two episodes?
Yep, 2 half-hour episodes. I need an hour or they won't air it on a novel idea.
Who won't air it?
You.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Go on, read the copy.
This radio production was written and directed and produced by Rick Young. Hey, say, that's you.
Last time I checked, I was me. Please continue.
This work was recorded at WRRS in Cincinnati from December 2019 through January 2020. The recording engineers were Gordon Graham, Charles Van Sant, and Anthony DiGregorio. Wow. Now that's a hard name to pronounce.
Yeah, even he can't say it. Oh, by the way, Anthony also did the post-production.
Man, he's the best.
That's what he keeps telling me. Go on.
The original soundtrack was written and performed by Brandon Boone. The narration was read by Rick Young, who also provides the voice of Bupkis the Bloodhound. Man, I bet that was rough. The cast was as follows. Kent Rampelmeyer played the ghost, Dick Darkey.
That's Dick Dark, not Darkey.
Then why is it spelled D-A-R-K-E?
Creative license.
I didn't know you needed a license to be creative.
Come on, read the rest of the cast.
Click Clack's unique voice was created by Rick and Anthony. Jim Waldfogel played the role Bob Plain, the Enchanter. Rummy Shots was acted by Tracy Shoster. Jenny Shots by Carrie Mees. And Jello Shots by Francis Hutker. Fran? Fran's back?
Yep. It's been a few years, but I'm glad she's in this one. Go on.
Jake Hart did the part of Beauregard Jackson. Barbara Carroll once again played Luscious LaFoon. Boy, what a name. Marie Laveau was performed by our old board op, Tisha Boone. That's it for the Haunted Chateau. Now for The Voodoo King. Elsa Corral did the voice of Jacques Strapeau, the Voodoo King. What a weird name.
Jacques Strapeau?
No, Elsa.
Agreed. Look, we can't spend too much time on this or the broadcast director will be pissed.
I don't care what he thinks. Oh, okay, okay. Adrienne Underhill was Penny Ante. Earl, the Pearl, Laycamp, read the part of Rick Shaw. Wow, Oils is also in this one. It's been a while.
Oh, sorry, huh? Uh-oh.
What?
Bud Diggs was read by that Anthony D... what it is?
D. Greg Oreo.
Oh, what you said.
And?
And what? Oh, I'm your announcer, Mark DeWitt. Well, did I pass the audition?
Don't quit your day job. Honestly, I don't think broadcast work is your thing.
Yeah, you might be right.